Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, this is a name if you've spent any time in a college or university classroom in biblical studies. You take a kind of basic course in biblical studies. You're trying to get a good liberal arts education. Or if you go to most seminaries, most divinity schools, if you do any kind of higher education, that is graduate education in theology or biblical studies, this is a name that's going to be very familiar to you. And even if you're not familiar with the name, you probably are familiar, if you listen to Issues, Etc., with the kind of theology that Rudolf Bultmann from the 20th century German theologian put forth and the amount of influence he has had. You hear us talk about the historical critical method. You hear us talk about liberal Bible scholars. Sometimes you'll hear us talk about scholars who want to demythologize the Bible or who are kind of minimalist when it comes to any kind of factual material in Holy Scripture. These are theologians today that undoubtedly learned these ideas from Rudolf Bultmann. We're going to talk about the life and teachings of this 20th century German theologian who was born on this day in 1884. Dr. Martin Nolan joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. He is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, and he is past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back.
Good to be here.
You took a degree at Union Theological Seminary, probably the bastion of mainline liberal Protestant teaching. How big a footprint did a man like Rudolf Bultmann have in the classrooms there when you were taking your doctorate?
I was there in the late 80s, 1986 to 90, were my years of residency, and I got my degree finally in 96. My area was church history, so I did have to take a few distribution requirements in biblical studies. So, you know, you would have to talk to somebody that was in New or Old Testament to get for sure. But this is just my general feel for things. Pretty much Bultmann and his way of doing things was already considered passé by then. And the reason is at Union, they were a bastion of liberation theology, and they tended to see these type of things as mostly the interest of what they call dead white males. And so it's, I don't know if that was an excuse not to do hard work, but that's often how it came across, at least when I heard from students. I'd say the faculty that I knew that were in biblical studies, one was Raymond Brown. I didn't take him for any courses, but I did get to know him a little bit. He was a professor of biblical studies, well-known Roman Catholic priest, and he would have had a deal with Bultmann and the post-Bultmannian scholars. I'm sure he did in his course, because I remember talking to some of the biblical studies doctoral students, you know, and they'd mention Kazeman or Borkham or something like this. Not necessarily that was the trend, but these were just scholars that they had to deal with. And Brown, I think, although he used the historical critical method thoroughly, because he was Roman Catholic, he also had a strong sense of upholding the doctrine of the church, that is, the Catholic Church. So, and he was never accused, as some of his colleagues were, like John Dominic Crossan in later years, or others, of being, you know, departing from the faith from the Catholic standpoint. So I think his influence there, because Brown was without a doubt, and he was retired at the time, but still teaching classes and guiding some New Testament students. I think he had a critical view toward Bultmann, and I think some of his students did too. The other side of it is there were a few other faculty members. I think, for example, the president for a while, Holland Hendricks, had a PhD from Harvard Divinity School, and his interests were like archaeological resources for New Testament. I'm looking at that here under his vitae. And I think some of those people that were more on the Protestant side of things would have been more interested and more likely to follow Bultmann's approach. One other faculty member that this guy was in systematics, Christopher Morris. He was, United Methodist Church, and his approach was definitely Barthian. So I think that Dr. Morris, at least as a practicing systematician, was more familiar with Bultmann and Dibelius and all of these others because he was familiar with the early 20th century and all of its debates than many of the other faculty members. Union, right after World War II, got a lot of scholars, as do many of our schools in the United States, that came over from Germany. Germany was devastated, and so a lot of those people didn't have jobs or any decent jobs, and there were openings for them. So, for example, Union Seminary got Paul Tillich, which was, for them, was a great find, even though, we would disagree with his theology. And Tillich and Bultmann, Tillich was a systematician, Bultmann was in New Testament studies. In many areas, they would have agreed. So I would say that probably the enduring influence of Bultmann's type of theology would have been the students of Paul Tillich, would have included probably Robin Scrobbs and Tom Driver, who was the Paul Tillich professor of theology and culture.
Okay, so give us a brief biography of this 20th century German theologian, Rudolf Bultmann. How does he come to be, at least in his time, one of the most influential theologians?
Bultmann was born, as you noted, 130 years ago this day. He was born into a Lutheran faith, and officially or nominally, he always remained a Lutheran, although, as we'll see, what doctrines did he uphold that were Lutheran? He was known for his historical analysis of the New Testament. He went to school at Berlin and Marburg. He did a dissertation at Marburg on the Epistles of St. Paul. He taught for a while at Breslau and Gießen and eventually returned to Marburg in 1921 as a full professor and stayed there until his retirement in 1951, and he passed in 1976. He was a student of Hermann Gunkel, Johannes Weiss, and Wilhelm Heitmüller, and these were professors in Germany that were of what's known as it's the History of Religions School. And the idea of the History of Religions School was that religions borrow from each other. They don't spring, as it were, Athena from the head of Zeus all of at once or from one person. But they religions have an evolution or development of their ideas, and they borrow from each other. And so then the idea of History of Religions School was to say, let's look at Christianity and find out where they got their ideas from. In other words, we don't really believe that Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote the Gospels, or that they really knew Jesus, or that these were really the people that were saying this. But through the influence, for example, of the Gnostic religion, great interest in the Gnostics, by the way, were the professors in this area. So it's more of comparative religions, is what we would call it today, and to look at Christianity in the same way, and not believing really any of the traditional doctrines of the church that the authors of those books are, but who they were, and therefore inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the background of Bultmann. This is what he was taught. And so in his own writings and his teaching, he continued the History of Religion school and incorporated a couple of philosophical trends, including Martin Heidegger, who was there with him at Marburg. So from him he learned the existentialist philosophy. And also, this is my own insight. I believe that the influence of historicism and Dilthey help him to see the difference between the modern world and the ancient world in terms of their worldviews. And then this is what led him to pronounce the New Testament as being based on a mythological worldview that we can't accept any longer, and therefore rejecting almost all of its doctrines.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about Rudolf Bultmann's attempt to demythologize Holy Scripture. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 20th of August. Rudolf Bultmann was born on this day in 1884. Dr. Martin Nolan is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues, Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues, Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight these things.
The 21st century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, August the 20th, we are remembering the life and teachings of 20th century German theologian Rudolf Bultmann. Dr. Martin Noland is our guest. Marty, you said before the break that his view of Scripture eventually led him to essentially reject what he believed to be the mythological worldview reflected therein, and therefore most of what Holy Scripture teaches. Can you give us a kind of a laundry list of main doctrines of historic Christianity that Bultmann would have rejected?
Okay. And again, this is because it's not arbitrary. In his mind, it's because these things are part of the mythological worldview which people today who have the scientific worldview cannot accept. So here's what he denies, doctrines that he denies. The existence of heaven, a tri-story world, heaven, earth, underworld, and hell, so there is no hell. God in a personal sense that we talk about in Scripture, angels, demons, Satan, the fact that earth includes supernatural events or forces either from God or the angels. Demons are excluded. There's no demon possession, no miracles, no visions. History is not controlled by these forces or influenced by them. There is no end of the age or judgment day. Let's see, where's my next list? There is no descent into hell by Jesus, no ascent into heaven. God does not live in heaven as a local place. Jesus will not return in the clouds. The faithful will not meet him in the air. Let's see, some more denials here. There are no miracles, I already said that, no exorcism. Jesus did not return as the disciples expected shortly after he left. The earth will end with a natural catastrophe, not a supernatural one. That's his, he affirms that. He says that there is no such thing as temptation by the devil or influence in a positive way by the Holy Spirit. He says that sacraments are incomprehensible. That's why I wonder why he's a Lutheran, but anyway. He also says no one can be baptized for the dead. That's a reference to Scripture. He says death is not the punishment for sin. Original sin is sub-ethical, irrational, and absurd. That is, the doctrine is. He denies the idea of a sinless man. He denies atonement, the doctrine of atonement, completely. He denies the idea that sin is juridical, matter before God, and therefore also rejects the doctrine of justification as a juridical matter, denies the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact, and denies the preexistence of Jesus. I think that covers it. That's all in his essay titled, New Testament Mythology, which is published in the widely circulated book titled Kerygma and Myth by Rudolf Bultmann.
Okay, so what is left over? I mean, what... He still regards himself as a theologian in some sense. He doesn't step down from his chair there at the university. What does he believe?
He believes that there was, of course, a historical Jesus, and that he was put to death, and that somewhere along the line, the Christian church picked up on this Jesus, gave to him the accolade of being a prophet, and then began constructing all sorts of things from Gnostic and other apocalyptic Jewish ideas to create some great great religious figure, basically. But in terms of the traditional doctrines of the church, he doesn't believe a thing.
Okay, talk about two of his ideas. One is demythologizing. How does one go about demythologizing, say, one of the gospel narratives, a common story from, say, the birth of Jesus? How would he have gone at it?
Okay, the birth of Jesus starts with the story of Zechariah in the temple. And the first thing that would drop out of that from a demythological perspective is the appearance of the angel to Zechariah. And secondly, the idea that Zechariah and Elizabeth, in the very, very, very old age, had a child, that also has to be, you know, that can't be true because it doesn't happen naturally. Then the appearance of the angel to Mary, that can't be true. The fact that the Virgin Mary was a virgin has to be denied because that, you know, that would be a miracle. It couldn't be the fact that Jesus was preexistent and therefore through the means of the Holy Spirit that she gave birth. That also could not be true. The parents of the angels, well, there aren't any angels, so that could not be true. It could be possible that the shepherds stopped by because they heard something interesting and, you know, maybe stopped by just by accident in the stable, and that there was some type of star that guided the wise men. Probably the entire story of the wise men is not true, and how that fits in with the innocence, that probably isn't true either. So anything that has any inkling of being miraculous or evidence of an angel or a demon or, you know, a personal connection or influence of God, that just cannot be true. Now, to be fair to him, he did not develop this idea on his own. And the idea is of what are known as worldviews. And many evangelical scholars use the terminology, including Francis Schaeffer did, of worldviews, not knowing where it comes from. And it comes from the historicist school of philosophy in 19th century Germany. And Bultmann is part of that. And so what he believes, as do the historicists, is that the worldview of the time of the New Testament is completely, you can't understand it, that there's things that are incomprehensible to people that believe in modern science, and it is incapable of being judged comparatively. That is the view of the historicist's view of history. And so it's not just the theologians that believe this, but also many historians. So, for example, it would be like it would be like you trying to go back to first and second grade to understand modern-day things going in Iraq and Syria today. I mean, you're an adult. You should understand those things. How could you understand it as a first and second grader? So it's not necessarily that the people back there were trying to tell lies, but their worldview was so constricted that they couldn't understand the phenomena that was going on around them. And that is the 19th century, early 20th century view of historicism. He buys into that completely because that's what he was taught. And therefore, the result is all these cosmological things that don't relate, that can't be understood, they just don't, they're not true. And we have to purge those out of our preaching and out of our teaching.
There is a, am I right here, Marty? There is a certain historical hubris or arrogance at work in that view that people of, in particular of the first century, were so primitive that they were gullible enough to believe these things, or that their worldview was so so based in mythology that it didn't matter to them whether these things were true or not. What are your thoughts there?
No, exactly. And the essay that starts this in the Enlightenment is Lessing's essay, and that's not our our friend Reed Lessing. Lessing on the Education of the Human Race. If you read that, you can get the basic idea that's going on. It's an immense amount of hubris because the ancient people did understand the human condition. They couldn't build spacecrafts, but they understood the relationship between people and ethics and also the relationship to God, and that has not changed. So philosophers do not entirely agree with this, but this particular view has been very prominent in the 20th century, and the effects of his theology still continues today.
With only about a minute here, you said that when you attended Union to get your doctorate, he was already passé there. Do you expect the ideas of Rudolf Bultmann to eventually be kind of consigned to the dustbin of biblical scholarship, or are they just going to stick around and continue to get recycled as we're watching it happen lately? About 30 seconds here, Marty.
His ideas were recycled, I would say, by the Jesus Seminar, represented by Robert Funk, John Dominic Cross, and Marcus Borg. You know, they go, they have this idea of units of scripture, and you throw the marble and decide whether it's true or false. The idea of units of scripture that may be true or false, that comes from Rudolf Bultmann in his form Criticism. And it goes also back to Adolf von Harnack. So this is the classic liberal Protestant view. It will come and go, but it will never entirely cease until the entire system of liberal Protestantism has been refuted, which may not happen in our lifetime or in the future. We don't know.
Dr. Martin Nolan is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. He is past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend the first part of that hour with Warren Cole Smith, vice president of World News Group, host of a radio program titled Listening In, and he's authored a recent article for World Magazine, short little thing, but very informative, titled From Christian Radio to a Church Near You, especially in the context of several prominent Christian music artists kind of coming out and saying, look, I don't buy what the Bible teaches about marriage. There was a prominent Christian artist who said he's fine with same-sex marriage. And then recently, a literal coming out of a Christian artist, she said that she is a practicing lesbian. How does this happen in a contemporary Christian music industry? We'll answer that question right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.